we've got insurance, we got $134K.
Right.
Ballpark, right?
Right.
So we got $134 from insurance.
Right.
We got the Bruno land donation.
Right.
Which was earmarked for that, which was $350.
The front gate donation.
$360. You actually have the number on the front page online, 27728. That's your cash in.
Well, no, that's also, that also includes the trail committee. Also, that's also $200 of the trail committee.
Oh, because that's for main entrance.
Yeah.
But then the numbers.
Yeah.
Why is that there then?
Because that's a restricted fund also. And I think that should say main entrance and.
Yeah, but I guess I'm going to go back. If we got $134 from insurance, the land sale donation, however we want to parse it, we'll say it's $360, making life easy. So we're coming to $514.
And that was for both keep and.
Right, and so we're at $514. We're agreeing on that? And then we spent $435, I believe, on the keep. So we got, net of that is, we got $65,000, $75,000.
I think it's around.
$79,000.
Right.
So that's where the number's coming from.
Right.
Sally.
What Mary Jo is talking about, the $70K or $80K, includes the insurance recovery.
So we're going to get an additional.
There's not another $130 floating around that's miraculously going to appear.
So we're back to this $80,000 figure to do the whole thing.
Well.
Let's not, hold on a second. We've got $700,000 in our savings accounts. We can do as fancy a booth as you want.
I don't think that's what anybody is asking.
Well, that's what you're asking.
No, no.
We're going to try to keep it as close to $80,000.
I would certainly.
And make it as beautiful as we can.
I'm questioning that, knowing.
Well, can I just say something? So I called, when we got this enormous bid, I did the responsible thing of calling the insurance company and stating, how do you expect a building that was insured at $29,000, even in the day when it was insured at $29,000, and shame on all the past administrations for not picking up on this, that there's actual costs of prevailing wage, and are we insured for that? And the answer was, you know, there's no way that you could build anything for that amount of money. And they would, and they absolutely said, we're going to pick up your prevailing wages on your rebuild, because that's part of it. Because we also have an umbrella part of our policy that's at a big amount that covers all of our building. So in case there is a catastrophic event or something occurs, there's this money that hangs there that we can, and I'm just saying this in easiest layman terms, that you can pull from as long as it's justified and vetted by the insurance company. Are they going to give you gazillion dollars? No. Are they going to pay you correctly what it should be? Yes. That is reasonable. So there's, like I said, there's a lot of moving pieces that I work on a daily basis.
I'm not questioning that, Mary Jo.
No, I'm trying to explain to you. So.
It's just hard to.
I am going to do my very best to make sure.
I would only hope.
The building comes in at a price that is affordable and good for the village. Because we are not going to spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for a closet that's bulletproof.
Nobody, nobody's.
With equipment.
Well, you said last meeting it was going to be $80,000 and a four-week project. So.
You know what?
It's going to come in at $80,000, it's going to come at $70,000, it's going to come at $90,000. We have the money.
Can we just move on?
Yeah.
Can we just agree with the following is, John's going to present something.
That's right.
It's going to conform to the bid documents.
Right.
As articulated by NICOM, and we'll go out to bid.
That's right.
If we want to go down that path.
That's right.
Can we agree to that and keep on going?
And to our aesthetic of the vehicle.
But you first have to do our homework.
Well, the aesthetic's already been too brief.
I want to know we're going to, if we have a cap of $80,000. It's a simple question. Because what we're saying is possibly we go into the reserves.
Nobody has a cap of $80,000. We have the money. It could come in at $70,000, it could come in $80,000, it could be $90,000.
I'm just saying what was already stated on the record, it's $80,000. Okay, what's our cap? What's our cap?
I would say let's wait and see.
Whatever the residents want.
So that means money will be coming out of reserves?
If.
Yes.
That's what they want.
Thank you.
If that's what they want.
Can I?
You do your very best that you can.
Mr. Gluck.
Yes, so what you're doing is you have a budget, right?
Yes.
You have a budget. What you're saying is the budget you're presenting, right, is budget's $80,000.
No. It's not budgeting $80,000.
Oh, it doesn't budget $80,000.
No.
We're wanting to.
We're budgeting zero right now.
I'm sorry. So based on an expected expenditure of $80,000.
Which we already have a reserve for.
More than that, we'd have to find the money someplace else.
Correct.
And either raise taxes or take more reserves.
Or save money elsewhere.
Or save money elsewhere.
Your expected expenditures are $80,000. Until you.
No, I would, I differ in only one thing is, I'm not saying, my personal opinion is my expected expenses is not $80,000. All we're saying is, or all I'm saying is, there's $80,000 allocated for that. Mm-hmm. I don't have a clue. All I know is that we received one bid and it was $397,000. Mm-hmm. So we have.
Without prevailing wage, just to be clear.
Two data points. One, what the architect originally told us what the cost is, and one bid, and we had, what, 11 people look at it, and one chose to bid. That's our two data points.
Sure.
That's all.
And if you expect to spend more on that before you adopt your budget,
then we'll incorporate it. Correct.
Your budget.
So the thing that we're doing is, obviously we weren't going to spend that amount of money for something of that size. So the question, you know, if you want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly, when you're dealing with a project that small, for a local contractor to bid on something that important as our front gate, that could be the impact of their career with all the prevailing wage and all the things, and the optics of what the Village of Tuxedo Park expectations are, they pull back and go, it's not worth it for us to bid on it. And we got a lot of that from the local contractors that said, very important project, small, worth only this, you know, really this, but it's not worth our time and money. So you lose those. For the big contractors, to be worth their while, the money raises go up. And that's pretty common for this corridor. And the architect had kind of given us that feeling in the meetings that we had had with him. But they had already seen what those numbers could be in other municipalities, counties around. And the numbers that we're guesstimating are spot on. Problem is, our corridor is a little bit more gunshot. And that's kind of, I mean, and we see that in homes being built and prices that we are confronted with on a lot of things. But we know that we can do quite a bit of this in-house, other ways, being creative, and still having the quality, the design, everything we need, and the functionality, and to come in pretty darn close.
All right, I'm just gonna make a point only because we differed last time. We discussed this, and just so I can get on the record, where we differ is that I believe that the bid that came in and it was so high because they were not bid quality drawings, they were design drawings.
Well, actually, they were bid quality. You know, he didn't see the final drawings.
There was, to go on record saying something wrong. Let him go on record saying something wrong.
Okay, go ahead and then I'll let
please.
You all.
This is my profession and I'm very familiar with what bid documents are.
But you didn't see the final bid
documents. No, we didn't see anything. He comes in with unprepared.
Why not? Because he didn't look at them.
He comes
in unprepared.
It's
very simple. It's very simple. The final bid documents were done, and they were more detailed. And I apologize. I don't have my booth folder with me. But they are in full drawing form.
Let him go on the record saying something wrong.
Everything was there, and it had every single thing that was needed in those documents. With full specs, full everything.
You sent me the drawings, and I say they're not bid drawings.
You didn't see the final set. I didn't see the final set.
Why didn't you distribute the final set?
Because we were moving in a very close time frame, if you recall.
They're here.
They're here.
If you come in,
you could always go ask John.
I saw them because I came in here and
looked
at them.
I'm not asking you, Claudia. I'm asking the other trustees. Did Alan see them?
I did not see them.
Well, okay. I just want to make it clear.
Yeah.
Had anybody come here and do their job, they would have seen them.
In all honesty, Lily, I'll be very honest. I leave messages for both Trustee McFadden, Trustee Guazzoni, Trustee Moon, Trustee McHugh, and if you don't call me back to find out what I'm trying to update you on things, I don't have time to send 15 emails all the time, then it's their error not checking in.
Come to Village Hall once a month.
And they can just, they're always there for John.
You're the deputy
pick up the
mayor,
phone.
Son.
So, you know, I can honestly say Alan responds back to me very frequently when I need him on stuff that has to do with the lakes and stuff. Trustee McHugh.
It just seems like two of the trustees have not seen the documents.
But they can easily go.
Could have sent them.
They're always there.
But I think the fact of the matter, so we can keep on moving, is that whether or not they were modified or not, the fact of the matter is, even if they were modified, we only received one bid, it's $397,000. That's all we need to know. So they might have been modified and enhanced, but it didn't affect anybody else changing their decision or making the bid. They still bid $397,000.
And I would say that to call something unprofessional of a professional that is doing something and volunteering their time.
I said they weren't mid-level drawings. Yeah. Never said unprofessional.
Absolutely. So we can agree, and that's what's great about a board. We can all have our different opinions, and that's what I think makes a great board, is that we're all able to express.
Never called them unprofessional.
So
I think this board has the smarts to get this thing done at or about $80,000.
Yes.
Okay. I beg to differ, but it really doesn't make a difference at this juncture. Let's see what happens when we get
that
hard numbers.
Because we're not going to spend money that we don't have for something
Agreed.
That would be
All right.
astronomical
Next.
And over the top.
There's a lot we can do with
this. Moving on. So now we're down to more of the DPW section that has to do with snow removal and all of that type of work. We are, as you know, we got slammed, and now we analyze our storms. So that's something I look at very seriously, of seeing where storms come in at and what we're using salt-wise. We're part of a system of the county and the state that will help alleviate this part of our budget. So the number you're seeing right now is not without any assistance of what our number is at the snow removal. Those numbers are going to come in better because we will be getting, it's based off police department. Anybody who is boots on the ground during a storm now, we're part of a statewide system, and we are trained to do so as the mayor and the building inspector, and we get training on all of that. The officers are aware of all of that. It's a very serious note-taking, records-keeping that we have to do, and it's actually a great program to be a part of and of the state. So these numbers will reflect quite differently once the state divvies up and does an analysis of the last blizzard. It has to be a state of an emergency when those funds are granted. It does not impact our roads or our gates, just so everyone knows. This is something that is completely been vetted by the attorneys and the whole state. So it's whoever participates gets to be the fruits of the funds. And if you don't participate, you get zero. We now participate. That's something that we started this year. So this is kind of self-explanatory. These are numbers that we want to make sure are reflected correctly. But at the same time, Mother Nature has her own mind. So we are conservative, but we're not going to be stupid. So we're going to try to, you know, do the best we can in that area. One year in 15-16, they had budgeted one thing, but the salt was totally unforeseen because the auctions for salt, just as it is for asphalt, we have a little bit better of a handle on numbers, but the other auctions we don't. We are doing our adopted budget way ahead of time before some of the auctions, and that year there was a salt, you know, crisis, if you want to call it. Several of the large plants had shut down, and the numbers went through the roof. So unfortunately, those type of things, those are the rainy days of what you have to be prepared for. So that, I think the rest of that is self-explanatory. Moving on to the third page, we have all of kind of what I call the housekeeping of the village, where it's the zoning, planning board, bar, tree advisory board, sewage. That's the salaries on that one. It's the guts, another section of guts of the village. The garbage contract, which stays the same, that's why that number hasn't changed. We're still in contract with that. We had negotiated a long contract. Alan had taken care of that. Street cleaning, those numbers are, as you can see, they're reflective of whatever the budget needs to be reflective of. So that pretty much stays where it is.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
I think it would be in this category. Every year it seems as if we've had some funds for doing something with the lakes. And
that's in the water budget.
And sometimes, oh really?
That all goes in the water budget.
Okay.
That was allocated incorrectly. So we'll get to that with the water budget.
Okay.
So in the next line items, and Sally, we'll go back to it when we go there so you can.
Apart from your boat fees.
That's.
Embedded in your boat fee is some mill file.
So the water, people who use water.
But what you're talking about for that.
Yeah, well, it's usually been in the village budget, and now I see we can see more things. The tree board, I guess it's not the, because we keep hearing that they aren't using any taxpayers.
That's in its own restricted fund. If anyone's donated to the tree board, any funds, that's just like the.
But the taxpayers pay $5,000.
Yeah, we started them with $5,000.
What?
No, and $5,000 again.
Tree advisory board, you have to do a certain dollar amount.
Every year.
Per resident of the park. So we calculate it that way, and that's how it's done. And that's part of the charter for Tree City USA.
I think it's, what was it, $2 or $3 per capita,
yeah,
something like
right,
that?
Right, something like that. So, and then they have their own website, which is, you know, so we budgeted for that. So if the, you know, trail committee was wanting to do that, we would obviously.
I'm not complaining, I just
you know,
wanted
but
to
that's
have
how,
clear,
that's how that, that's part of the charter for Tree City USA.
Saying that they're not taking any taxpayer money.
They are not taking any taxpayer money for the restoration
of the
racetrack.
For the racetrack.
Yeah.
We have to, by law, have a budgeted amount inside your budget to be a member of Tree City USA.
But the answer to your question is we're contributing slightly
like
more because we originally, there's a per capita amount, and I think
right.
it was $2 or $3, I can't remember.
Right.
So say it's $1,800
right.
or $3,600.
Right.
When Tree Advisory Board came into inception, we originally funded them. Now they're self-funding, but we figured, given we had originally put $5,000, we would continue that as a constant. So, yes, you as a village resident, there's $1,400 of that $5,000, which is coming out of your tax bill.
Okay.
And it's a flow-through, right? The money comes in and then
not the 5K.
No. The donations.
Yes.
Thank you.
That goes in its own restricted fund, just
right.
like
but
the
it's
trail
a flow through.
Committee.
It's a
flow through.
Yeah.
It's a 501c.
Yeah.
Flow
through. Moving on, the next one is pretty much we have nothing to say about anything that's New York State mandated, Social Security, Medicare, workman's comp. All of those numbers are calculated by formula based on the salaries. On health care insurance, we have put the number there that we need to put, but like I said, that number is going to change for the better because one of the unions, most of the employees are going to go on to the self-funding of the village, and that will drop that number down substantially, and their coverage is even better than the NYSHIP coverage.
Can
and
you,
I would encourage
could you just articulate a little bit more about
I will. I'll encourage the trustees who have not attended the presentation of the insurance company to be sure to be at the presentation on Saturday with the insurance company that's here. The employees have already had it. It's a very good plan. So this is how this works. So you have NYSHIP. We cannot tell a union member they cannot use NYSHIP. So we will offer, and this is one of the things we're working out with the police department right now. We will offer they can be on NYSHIP or they can be on our plan, which is self-funding. The way the self-funding works is it's a new thing that's happened in the state. And I think across the country, actually. It used to be if you were a certain base of employees, like a small company, you couldn't be on this great group plan like a big corporation. You couldn't benefit from those great prices. Well, now you can. You can actually piggyback off of a big picture of insurance. So let's say, you know, Chase is part of a big group coverage. We get to piggyback onto them and get those same rates that they get. And that great coverage, state, countrywide, you can go to any place in the country, and it covers you going international. And we still provide the same vision plans and the same dental plans. That's its own entity. So it has a great savings to the village and a great savings to the employee because the employee was paying co-pays and all that. We're going to pick up all those costs. And that's still at amazing savings. It's a pretty interesting formula how it works. If you want to,
so do you have any clue?
We do have, but we won't know exactly because we're just in the birthing stages. just to give you an idea, this year, you normally work at the stabilization rate of 60%, I think is the stabilization rate of what you work at with insurance companies. We were way under that with the four employees we have on it right now. The non-union employees were on it. They've had good success. Wish some of them would go to the doctor more, like they're supposed to for their physicals, and benefit for the free physicals that they get. But I think a lot of pressure from other members of the employee staff is pressuring certain employees in the village to do so.